This week, a coal mine closes and lives are thrown into disarray.
I'm starting to get a little edgy because I got like 2 months left on unemployment.
The end of coal as we've known it is here, and people in southwestern Pennsylvania are getting rocked by a big switch to other fuels. Today, we'll dive into what it's like to work in an industry that's disappearing in real time. And we look at what the future will hold for people whose lives have centered around coal. That's coming up on the Allegheny Front. Stay with us. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Reed Frazier. The Pittsburgh coal seam. It's been called the most economically valuable rock formation in the history of the world. It's almost 200 miles wide in parts, and it was easily transported along the snaking rivers of southwestern Pennsylvania during the Industrial Revolution. This coal powered the furnaces of the Pittsburgh steel industry. This steel built the railroads and bridges of the American West, built the locks of the Panama Canal, and armed America during World War II. In Greene County, right on the West Virginia border, there aren't many people, only 38,000, but there is a lot of coal. Greene County is the number one producing coal county in the country, but times there are changing. The American coal industry is, to put it one way, going down the tubes right now. Most top mining companies are in bankruptcy, and the country as a whole is mining less of it than at any time in the past 30 years. The reasons for this decline have been talked about and debated a lot. There's less demand for coal, there's competition from cheap natural gas thanks to fracking, and there are tougher environmental laws now than at any time in our history. What hasn't been talked about so much is how places like Greene County are faring now, when the industry that defined it for so long is quickly receding. Today, we'll take a look at this question through the stories of two men who recently lost their jobs when their coal mine shut down in November. They worked at the Emerald Mine in Waynesburg. The mine belongs to Alpha Natural Resources, a large company that, like most other big coal companies, is in the midst of bankruptcy. One night a few months after it closed, many of the miners who lost their jobs meet in a large, well-lit hall. More than 100 people are there to see presentations about job opportunities they'd be qualified for. One of these is Derek Corcoran, a big, burly 31-year-old. He's been working in mines for 12 years. He remembered the day of the layoffs.
Right before Thanksgiving, this past Thanksgiving, they laid off. I think it was close to 200, maybe a little over 200 miners.
And was that a surprise?
No, they were talking about it for a couple years and just finally come along, you know, and it actually happened. So
the crowd is mostly men, though some of the miners have brought their families with them. They take their seats and hear a series of speakers. One of them is the local state representative, Pam Snyder. She tells how she'd been laid off after administrations in the state capitol had changed back when she worked in state government. And she said it worked out for her, and it'll probably work out for them, too.
Through the struggles, something better came from it. So I want you to know tonight, something better will come for you.
There are representatives from county agencies and technical schools, former miners who now work in fields like computer coding and private security. One of the speakers is Blair Zimmerman. He's a Greene County commissioner. He used to be a coal miner, and he says he'd been laid off many times before.
We always knew we were going to get back to work.
He points to a pin on his lapel. He says it was his 40-year pin from the UMWA, the United Mine Workers of America, the union these miners belong to.
You guys don't want to be bullshit, and you don't want that. And I know I didn't want that when I worked there. So the reality is, you know, these 40-year pins are going to be hard to come by.
And Zimmerman says some would be lucky enough to get a job at the Cumberland Mine, another local mine owned by Alpha Natural Resources.
And I hope sooner than later, but a lot of you aren't going to get back to the mines. That's just the way it's going to happen.
After the speeches are over, the meeting breaks up. One of the speakers is Dave Searock. He left the coal mine to work as a recruiter for a private industry group. He lays out the challenge faced by the people in this room.
It's tough because the hardest transition is you're going from a job where you made six figures, and probably the highest job you're going to get in Fayette or Greene County is $20,000, $30,000 a year. If you're lucky, you might get one hit 40, but you're never going to hit 80 to 100.
This meeting is the first event held by a group calling itself Career Opportunities After Layoff. Acronym COAL. Get it? The group was started by two Emerald miners to help their fellow laid-off miners get jobs. One of the guys who organized the group is Dave Hathaway. He's not dressed like the other miners. Today, he's wearing a dress shirt and tie. Hathaway says he's not holding out hope for getting rehired in the coal industry. He's on the list to be transferred to the Cumberland mine, but right now he's number 70 in seniority, so his odds are small. He says he's applied to 50 places, all online.
From prison to casino, gas field, just anywhere.
And any bites?
Zero. Not one phone call from any.
Overall, he's happy with the way tonight's event has turned out. He's particularly impressed with one of the speakers, a rep for the Carpenters Union, who encouraged the miners to apply for an internship that paid $40,000 during training, and more once the training was over. All the miners file out of the meeting hall. It's March. For most of them, their unemployment runs out in 2 months. Coming up, we'll see what's scarier, working in a coal mine or looking for a job. That's when the Allegheny Front continues. Stay with us. I'm Reed Frazier. Across the country, thousands of coal miners have been losing their jobs, and a lot of them live in places like Greene County, Pennsylvania, where there's just not a lot of industry ready to absorb the extra workforce. After getting laid off, Dave Hathaway and Bob Wilson formed the Coal Group. That's Career Opportunities After Layoff, COAL. The group is trying to help miners get jobs in other fields. A few weeks after the meeting they organized, I meet up with them at Dave's house, just a few blocks from the now-closed Emerald Mine. We sit in the kitchen as Dave cooks some venison in a crock pot and shoos his dog out of the room. Bob Wilson tells me his story. He's wearing a t-shirt with a hip-looking design on it that says, "Jesus Saves." He's a Christian and very active in his church. Bob says he worked his way into the Emerald Mine. He'd been working as a contractor for a company that builds the belt lines that carry coal through underground mines. Building these is hard work. It involves melting the rubber sections together and a lot of heavy lifting. He says he was installing a belt line on a miner's vacation. That's when the mine shuts down for maintenance. And that's when he got his big break.
And I was shaking hands and, you know, just really working hard. And a couple of guys out there in the belt department talked to me and they said, "We'd like to have you as a worker." I said, "Well, I'd like to work here." And they told me to put an application in, and that's how it started.
That was about 10 years ago. Working at the Emerald Mine was a considerable step up. At his old job, he'd had to travel all over, and the money and stability of working in a union job, you couldn't beat it.
And you were actually a part of something. Being a part of the UMWA when I first got in there, I was like, I'm part of something, you know? You know, I couldn't plan anything as a contractor. You have a phone that you have to carry with you and it has to be on. And you get a phone call, you better be in that truck, you know. But so it really felt nice to actually be a part of something.
Dave explains that while some people like Bob work their way into the mine, some are kind of born into it. That was his situation. His father was a coal miner at Emerald. He said he first entered the mine in his mid-20s when his dad gave him a tour.
And I didn't want nothing to do with it. I said, this is totally ridiculous. It's insane.
Why was it insane?
Just conditions. Like, I mean, it was just, I don't know. I mean, I didn't really have any want to do it.
He'd seen and heard about people coming back from the mines injured, but he says there were other things to consider.
At the time, I was delivering copiers, making like 13, 14 bucks an hour. And I had my first kid, and the money just wasn't cutting it.
He took a training course and got hired as a contractor for a construction company that works in underground mines. He got experience in that job and used it, with a little help from his old man, to get a job at Emerald.
Money was the main, you know, and insurance was the main reason why I did it.
Because you had the kid.
Yeah. But once I got in there, man, it was, that's the greatest job I ever had. I mean, the guys, I met a lot of great friends, like Bob here.
This is something the miners at Emerald talk about a lot, having someone watching your back, being part of a team, a band of brothers. It sounds kind of cliche, but inside the mine, it was a real community. Not that there weren't things that would scare these guys. The average depth at Emerald Mine is about 800 feet. So there's 800 feet of rock just waiting to fall on your head at any moment. And sometimes it does. Like one time when Bob Wilson was relatively new and the crew he was on was tunneling into a coal seam.
And, you know, we started losing the roof and it was cracking, bolts were popping out. And when you're new, I mean, it's really scary. You hear that, all that ground above you popping and cracking, and you know, you're like, I'm gonna die in here.
They have a lot of stories like that, like the time a tiny hole in a wire almost electrocuted Dave, or when a coworker's face got caught on a hook. But to the mine's credit, there's never been a fatality at the Emerald Mine, which opened in the 70s. Overall, though, the job was good for them. Dave eventually got to operate equipment on the surface. It's a lot safer than being underground. And Bob worked his way up to fire boss. Basically, he was a safety inspector. But soon, things would go bad for the coal industry, and their lives would be turned upside down. We'll hear more about that in a minute, as our story from Greene County, Pennsylvania, continues. This is The Allegheny Front. I'm Reed Frazier. You've probably heard the expression, the war on coal. It's used by the coal industry and its supporters to describe a wave of regulations on the mining and power industries, many of them brought in by the Obama administration. These rules from the EPA have made it more expensive for power companies to burn coal, and so it's lowered the demand for coal from places like the Emerald Mine in Greene County. But coal has also faced stiff competition from dirt-cheap natural gas, thanks in large part to fracking in shale rock. Some of the most productive shale gas wells in the world are now just a few miles from the Emerald Mine. All of these factors have created pretty severe economics to companies like Alpha Natural Resources. The company borrowed billions of dollars to buy another coal mining company, Massey Energy, in 2011. It turned out they bought that company at about the peak of the coal market. Since then, the coal sector as a whole has lost close to 95% of its value. This, according to a report from Bloomberg Business. Alpha Natural Resources didn't respond to interview requests for this story, but in their court filings, they said it lost around $1.5 billion in 2015. In documents, the company's bankruptcy lawyers have called it, quote, the historic collapse of the domestic coal industry. Meanwhile, Bob Wilson and Dave Hathaway and the rest of the miners at the Emerald Mine could see the end coming. No one told them this. They could just tell by how they were mining coal. They mine coal in sections using a big machine called a continuous miner. Normally, they would follow the continuous miner as it cut its way through the rock. But at one point, they were told not to keep advancing. Instead, they were told to pull out water lines, power lines, and belt lines as they went along. This was basically a dead giveaway.
Right then, when they start pulling pipe, you know that the mine's coming to an end.
What do you mean pulling pipe? They're just...
They're not advancing their water lines or their belt structure past your point on your mains. So then what you have left is just the two sections that were left to mine out, and then you know you'd be done because you're not going to have anywhere to go. Nobody really was certain it was true, but the signs were there that they were starting to lean in that direction.
Then the end came, a few weeks before Thanksgiving last year. They were called into a room at the beginning of their shift and told they'd be losing their jobs in January. At first, Dave was despondent. He'd just sit at home watching movies. Bob says he had to get his friend Dave off the couch.
When I first got to get involved in this coal committee, I looking through the window there, he's sitting on the couch, you know, he has like half a blanket on, no shirt, he's looking at his phone, he's got a movie on. I'm like, Dave, you gotta do something. He's like, I'm depressed. I don't have a job. So the next day I come, he's in the same exact position. I said, Dave, we gotta do something. He said, I know, I'm on movie 3.
Bob says he got the idea to start a group to help minors look for jobs from a guy he'd met at Alcoholics Anonymous. Bob is in recovery. He said this guy used to work in the railroad industry before getting laid off.
And he said that they went through this in the 80s with the railroad. And when they shut down the mainline motor route, and so they formed a committee like this to try to get grant money for them guys to extend their employment and stuff.
They went to the local Office of Economic Development and told the people there that they'd formed a committee with the name Career Opportunities After Layoffs, or COAL.
And they loved it. They've been trying to figure out a way to reach these guys. And, you know, from there on, the chips just started falling into place. You know, they give you resources and contacts. I mean, so they would start to compile contact lists at night with all our notes from that we've been gathering.
They got names and numbers of agencies, schools, resources to get other people jobs. But as they began their research, they realized just how difficult this task would be. Their jobs with overtime paid them $80,000 to $100,000 a year. That was enough money to raise a family on, buy some extras like cars, guns, fishing rods. Dave says life for them and lots of other people would be different now.
We were kind of put down to size by one of the ladies that's helping us, and she was like, you guys need to come back to reality. It's time to like live in the real world and make $40,000, where that's good money.
Dave, as it turns out, is also facing another deadline. About a week after he found out he was getting laid off, his wife Ashley gave him some news.
So it was like, I get on unemployment and she's like, we're having a baby. Damn. I mean, it wasn't like, yeah, I'm happy, we were trying, but it would have been nice to have a, you know, $75,000 job to make things happen, you know? But I mean, I'm starting to get a little frustrated now, edgy, because I got like 2 months left on unemployment, and I mean, I'm not getting anything.
Bob says he wants to start a supplements business, but barring that, he'd like to get into the carpenters union. Would they go back underground? That depends, Bob says.
I think I'd speak for both of us. If we could go back to what we were doing at that mine, you know, now it's gone, you miss it, yeah, we would go back tomorrow. But as far as going to another mine or new mine, I don't think so.
Some miners are leaving. A friend of theirs is moving to Tennessee to take a job there. Dave says that's not an option for him.
I won't move. I love Greene County. And I got ties here, so, you know, my kid and everything, I'm just not leaving. I mean, I'll travel, but yeah, I'm not leaving.
Dave has one other connection to the Emerald Mine. That's where he met his wife. She's a purchaser with the company. Alpha still runs another mine nearby. But whether she'll be able to keep her job, who's to say, he says. Of all the options available to Bob and Dave, the one that seems the most attractive, most likely to give them what they want, is the Carpenters Union. Their story continues in a moment. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Reed Frazier.
Decades ago, when plans were made to dredge the Delaware River, making it deeper for port traffic in Philadelphia, environmentalists weren't happy. And that was before anyone even thought about climate change.
We're worried that we might be about to lose a large amount of the salt marshes we have now.
I'm Carol Holsapple. Next week on the Allegheny Front, we look at what shore erosion and encroaching saltwater mean for people and wildlife that depend on the Delaware River. That's next week on the Allegheny Front.
Bob Wilson and Dave Hathaway are on a mission to get a job after the mine they worked at, the Emerald No. 1, was shut down. They've started a group to help other miners find jobs, but there's not much work in Greene County where they're from. They don't want to leave the area, as some are doing, so today they're at the Carpenters Union. The union's headquarters are out by the Pittsburgh International Airport. The union would pay them pretty well while they train, and they could make good money once the training is over. At the union hall, Bob and Dave walk over to a counter where they're greeted by a receptionist. Bob tells her they're here to apply for the union's training program.
Okay, so I need to see your driver's license and $25 for the testing fee.
They give over their IDs, and the woman fills out some paperwork. She explains there are only a few times a year to take the test to get into the training program.
So the specialty programs, okay, they bring a class in once per year every June, okay?
In a separate room, they sit in front of computers and enter their past work history, where they went to high school, the equipment they know how to operate.
So I just put Builder's Guild up here where...
Right, and then below you'll put the...
To lighten things up, Dave suggests the two have a race to see who finishes their application first. When they're done, the receptionist says they'll need to come back for a test and an interview. The whole thing takes less than half an hour. In the parking lot, they seem relieved. They at least started the process. This is, after all, their best chance of a job paying anything like the 80 to 100 grand they could make at the coal mine.
Well, I think we played a couple good angles in there.
Yeah.
We gave him the cards from the coal committee. She seemed interested. Dave told her a little bit about what we're about.
A few minutes later, a couple other guys come out of the building. They were also applying to get into the same training program, and they're also from Greene County. When Bob finds this out, he hands them a card from their coal committee. It's got a picture of a miner on it and their phone numbers.
Are you offering something?
We're trying to organize stuff to get guys better, longer benefits for employment, more money for retraining, for schooling and stuff like that, and trying to create an information network to help other coal miners get jobs again.
Yeah.
He is there.
Affected by that.
They talked to Anthony Weiss. He's working with the coal industry as a contractor. That's not as good a job, either for pay or benefits, as the union job. But still, his story sounds a lot like Bob and Dave's.
They cut us down to 4 days a week, and then, they started cutting our hours back 6 days, 6 hours a day and all that stuff, and just can't live on that. I mean, used to work in 12-hour days, 6-7 days a week, and it's just dying out, and got to find something else to do.
Bob tells the men to visit the website, that it has updates on free resources like a food pantry and social services.
All right, y'all have a nice day.
Good luck to you.
You too.
In a minute, Dave and Bob take another step toward finding a job in a dwindling employment market. As their unemployment benefits run out, will they find a job? We'll find out when our show continues. Since 2011, more than 30,000 coal miners in the U.S. have lost their jobs. About one in four miners in Pennsylvania have lost their jobs since then. This is a collapsing industry, and most don't expect the industry to ever come back to its former levels. Bob Wilson and Dave Hathaway are among the many miners who lost their jobs when the Emerald Mine in Greene County closed last year. Now Bob and Dave are looking for work. They'd like to get into a training program run by the Carpenters Union, which would pay them while they train. To get into the union, they had to take a test that measures basic math skills. I catch up with them just after they'd taken it at an outdoor shopping center in Pittsburgh. Bob says they did pretty well, but there were a few other guys taking their test who didn't.
You could tell they didn't pass. They come out and they're like, oh, we'll send you a letter, let you know how you did. And then, for us, they were like, we come out one time, they shook our hand and just said, congratulations, you passed your test.
Bob is feeling good. They had worked hard to get the interview. They started a group to help other miners find jobs, and they're hoping some of the work they've done will also pay off for them. After they had taken the carpenter's test, they went to the Electrical Workers Union Hall to fill out papers for that apprenticeship program. The hustle of presenting themselves to so many different places is wearing on them, Bob says.
It's like a full-time job looking for work right now.
The day before, you know, yesterday we took our civil service exams in Pittsburgh here, like hour and a half drive with traffic and stuff.
The civil service exam is for a job at a prison. There's a high security state prison a few miles away from Bob's house. It's one of Greene County's largest employers.
So how would you feel about working in a prison?
You're inside a building, so there's less weather. I don't have to go underground anymore and worry about stuff falling on me, per se, or the terrible weather and the beating up your body. You don't have to really worry about that in a prison, but you do have to deal with the attitudes.
Bob has a friend who works at the state prison in Greene County. He says it's high stress, but it's a job, and it's nothing if not steady. He says it's not like they're going to close the prison. Besides, the options are limited.
We're not even, the way he's looking now, you're not even going to be able to grab something that's going to match your unemployment and health care. And that's really scary. You can't even find something that matches unemployment.
One thing he says would make a big difference for the miners is to get unemployment benefits extended past the normal 6 months. Bob and Dave have read stories about how a few years ago, workers laid off during the recession had their unemployment extended. They wanted the same thing for coal workers.
Where's our bailout money? You know, just, and it's not just a handout like we need our houses rebuilt. We just need to help to get a good paying job. We just need unemployment extended for 2 years so these people can train for a good job. That's all we're asking for.
There's just over a month to go before unemployment runs out. And Bob's worried, not just for him, but for the rest of the people who worked at the Emerald Mine.
Another month, it's going to get real bad when everybody loses everything. They're already selling everything. And they're not even out of unemployment a month from now. When they all lose all their income, I wouldn't be surprised if they've even seen a fatality or somebody took their own life.
That's a little dramatic, but they've already seen it happening. One guy they worked with got a DUI. They say he always drank a lot, and now that he's got no job to hold on to, he's been drinking even more. What should be done to help these people out? There is federal money for retraining coal miners, but that money has to pass through government agencies and then gets farmed out to community colleges and nonprofits that specialize in training, and that takes months, maybe even a year, before it can help. In this year's presidential race, coal mining has come up. Donald Trump says he's going to bring back the industry, though he's short on details as to how he'd do that. Hillary Clinton has a $30 billion plan for coal communities that includes retraining coal miners, though she caught flack in coal country when she said her national energy policy would put coal mines out of business. A few weeks ago, the U.S. Department of Labor turned down the Emerald Miners' request for an unemployment extension. So what can people like Bob and Dave do? Bob says a lot. He says if we're going to use more wind and solar, why not get former coal miners to install it?
The coal miners are some of those first people on the planet. You know, we've all ran equipment. Me and Dave here, we've been belt repairmen together, welding, fabricating, cutting torches, building belt drives from the ground up. I mean, million-dollar belt drives. And Dave's, you know, went all the way outside running dozers and stuff. I mean, we're versatile. We can do this stuff with a little bit of help.
This month, Bob and Dave hear back from the Carpenters Union. In the meantime, they're cutting grass to earn a little money. And Dave says he may get hired back to the company's Cumberland mine. He's number 25 on the waiting list. The baby his wife Ashley is carrying is due in September. They're having a boy. Thanks for listening to the Allegheny Front. I'm Reed Frazier. Kara Holsapple returns next week.
Support for the Allegheny Front comes from the Heinz Endowments, the Pittsburgh Foundation, the Caroline Frederica Holdship Charitable Trust, the Park Foundation, and the Benedum Foundation.